Johnny Dyer's Iron Man, Nick the Cocker, Steven Stokes, and Gasparino. Tony got the Niobin, Becky doesn't let him in, not the violence, help the violent, only one can go. Hi, you guys, and welcome to the Fantasy King podcast. I'm Paddy. I'm here with my comrade and co-host, Johnny. Johnny, what's the crack?
Not too bad at all, Paddy, my friend. How are you?
I'm great, Johnny. And for any of our international listeners, Johnny isn't actually on crack. It's just a thing we say here in Ireland.
Yep, the good old Irish metaphors. The people will have to get used to them, but I'm sure it'll be fine.
And we are going to have a couple of new listeners because we made the local paper this week, didn't we did. Johnny?
We did. We got a half-page article on page, it was towards the back anyway, a half-page article with a photograph revealing our identities in the local newspaper. So, yeah, so that was a big moment.
Our secret fantasy football pundit lives are out in the open now, and I'm sure we're going to have a few new listeners and a few new critics. But, Johnny, so the podcast is, just for any new listeners listening, is basically a fantasy football podcast where myself and Johnny just give you 100% gospel expert opinions.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you can't go wrong with us.
Yeah, exactly. Look, this is a little preview show going into game week 5, which kicks off on Saturday morning. Or is it Saturday morning? I think it's Saturday morning.
Yeah, Saturday morning, yes. Spurs against Liverpool.
Yeah, so we'll do a little preview here. Johnny, you've hit the wildcard button.
Well, I was in dire need, and I was sitting here doing these podcasts, you know, twice a week for the last 4 weeks, talking about how this guy's a good player and this guy's a good player. And the vast majority of these guys that I was talking about were players that I didn't have. So yeah. I've decided now to practice what I preach. I've hit the wild card. It's still active for another, you know, whatever, 36 hours. And, so it had to be hit. So nine changes, major surgery.
In the heart of that team.
It's a fantastic makeover. It's huge surgery, but it had to be done. You know yourself.
Well,
you know,
we'll get onto your team in a wee while. Other topics that we're going to talk about on the podcast are Mo Salah or no Salah. We're going to have a little look at maybe some Champions League rotation, talking about that. We'll cover the top five transfers in, the top five transfers out this week. Always an interesting little stat, I think. And I suppose we'll talk about our own teams going into game week 5 and how we feel they're set up.
Yeah, and obviously we've been very, very grateful to get... we got a number of questions in on the Twitter today, so we'll try and get around as many of those as we can. Well, there was two of them. Very long questions. Like I felt we were back at school doing exams again. Like I had to go and study them.
There was some deep questions, and there was some on Reddit as well, and some on Discord. So we'll get through those questions as well. So Johnny, we'll just kick it off here. We'll go straight into your team, and just tell us who you brought in, and we'll go from there.
Okay. Well, the first thing was there's been 9 new players brought in. I'll just list them out to you. The good old-fashioned way. Ederson, as a goalkeeper, has come in for me.
Excellent, okay.
The man who I've developed a bit of a man crush on in terms of fantasy football over the last few weeks is Marcus Alonso, who has joined the ranks.
An essential, I think an essential for any wildcard.
Oh, I think so as well. Now, obviously, I've kept a few players for the time being, but just talking about the new guys, Andy Robertson has come in as well.
Right, Johnny, I have Robertson in my team as well, but if I was wildcarding now, I don't know if he'd be a part of my plans, because Liverpool have such a, they have a tough fixtures coming up, and rotation as well.
They will a bit, but do you know what I mean? Well, we'll talk about Liverpool's fixtures maybe after the team here, but there's a lot of drama and maybe a wee bit of
sensationalism.
But we'll talk about that after. But I think we've that down as a topic to discuss anyway, so we'll come back to that.
Right, okay.
But, good point, from good question from the floor there, but we'll come back to it. I have said goodbye to Mohamed Salah and brought in his buddy, Sadio Mane.
Okay.
But obviously, getting rid of Salah, it leaves a few extra dollars to throw about. So Eden Hazard has come in.
Oh, yes. Excellent.
Eden Hazard has come in. Now,
bandwagon!
Oh, absolutely on the bandwagon. Absolutely. All aboard. Yeah. Now, I also went for this guy. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. It's Mohamed El Younissi at Southampton.
Well, I think one of those names was it.
None of the above, maybe.
Yeah.
We're from Donegal, Paddy. How do we ever hear a name like that?
I know.
Okay, the other few now, Shirla has come in from Fulham.
Excellent.
Danny Ings, Mitrovic, and our own Irishman in Mr. Doherty at Wolves. He was a nice bargain basket buy at 4.4 million.
He must have had a little drop in price then. 4.5, I think he started off as.
I think he did, you know, and I was just doing a wee bit of research on him. And, you know, Wolves are a good attacking side with that formation that they play.
Yes.
You know, they're playing Burnley this weekend, who aren't defending all that well. So I'm hoping that young Doherty, Doherty, as a lot of people are calling him, he's Doherty, will get forward and, you know, get a few crosses in there. And hopefully he'll reward my faith in what I've put in him.
Well, best of luck to you, for Doherty, for you there now. Just speaking there of the, you got a few transfers in. We'll just have a look at the top five transfers from the FPL community this week.
Sure, yeah.
And the top five are Mitrovic is in at number one. 349,000 managers have brought him in. Lucas Moura, second, 316,000. Holobas, third, with 274,000. Yeah, that I think that's chasing points though, to be honest.
It's, I know that, but that could be chasing a white elephant kind of thing.
Pedro, 272,000 managers, and fifth Hazard with 256,000 managers.
Yeah, surely Hazard was higher maybe a week or two before that. You know, it's strange to see Hazard.
The interesting thing about these top transfers, in you know, you just can't go rely on them too heavy, because, like, I'm looking here at the top transfers out this week.
Yeah,
and Zaha. Is one of the main guys that's got the boot, and that's because I think he's got a little yellow injury.
There's an injury concern over him. Yeah, they, you know, apparently won't know until tomorrow.
That would have been your perfect example of managers just making the early transfer and at the start of the week or last week. And I think Zaha's actually going to start this week, according to Roy.
According to our reliable sources and all that.
So 375,000 have got him out. Walcott's out as well, and Salah, Mo Salah, is the third most transferred player out, which I just find unbelievable. And we will go into that when we're talking about our Mo Salah or No Salah and the rotation talk.
Yeah.
Mkhitaryan's out as well in fourth, 148,000.
Well, obviously Mkhitaryan has taken the huff, Paddy, since you unfollowed him on Twitter last week.
Well, he deserved it, the bastard. And Richarlison as well, of course, this will be his last game suspended, this week. So that's the little stats there. Got those out of the way. And you've got two of those in, Hazard and Mitrovic. So I think you could be onto some points there, Johnny.
Well, do you know what, here? My luck has been that bad over the last God knows for how long. So the only way is up for me, really.
Right, and quickly then, Johnny, give us the starting lineup for game week 5. Just there, do we see
the starting lineup? Okay, just bear with me 1 second now. My computer is acting a little bit slowly at the minute, but as you can imagine now, we're going to put Ederson in nets. That's a bit of a no brainer, really. So that has to be done. I know there's all this talk about his new child been born, but you know, he's going in the nets. But obviously, this is not fully cemented yet. I could change it again tomorrow, but at the minute, I'm going with a good old-fashioned Mike Bassett 4-4-2 here, with Alonso, Bellerin, Robertson and Doherty at the back.
Yeah.
Mane, Hazard, El-Yunisi, Shirla across the mid. And Aubameyang, we're all hoping for. And Ings, I've gone with Ings up front because I do have Mitrovic on the bench, but I just think that, you know, he's playing against Man City this weekend, and it could be a wee bit of a bridge too far for him to continue that good run form in this game.
You know, like, I don't know. I think, you know, Mitrovic, he's one of the most transferred in players this game week, and know that we can't just, you know, take that as gospel that he's going to go scoring goals. But I'd be so tempted to start him against Aguero. Surely the form he's in, he could nick a goal. I would always want to start an attacker over a defender, maybe, anyway, you know. So that would be my opinion on it, but you know, we'll see how that goes for you. You know, you never know, we might get in there yet.
But yeah, like I say, there's still time. There's still, you know, all day at work tomorrow to sit around when I'm supposed to be doing stuff at work, thinking about, will I go with Ings or will I go with Mitrovic? You know?
Exactly. The tinkering always, the tinkering itch just takes over, the dreaded tinkering. And you brought in Danny Ings, which is, I think, a fantastic player to bring in, a good price as well. I think he's just gone up. I think he's 5.6, so he's gone up a little bit.
5.6 million, yeah. So
And his blister's all healed up now, so I'm sure he'll be getting the start against Brighton.
Can you imagine the footballers of the 1970s? You know, people like, you know, Chopper Harris and Jack Charlton and all these proper hard feckers. Like, he's not playing because he's got a blister on his foot. Like, I know they are sore, and God knows, like, you know, if I have the man flu, I'm out for a week. But it just seems like a real new age problem. But no,
it's a different era.
A different era. But no, Ings is in. We talked about him a lot.
You've got players like Alexis Sanchez putting up pictures of him with a scratch on his thumb and a trickle of blood and a sand face, and he's out for like 2 weeks.
Oh, poor fella. But, you know, we did a lot of talk about Ings. Was it last week or maybe the week before?
Yeah, we'd done the last podcast. Yeah, we spoke to Ings. I was backing him. You'd swear he sponsored the podcast.
We had to clarify that we weren't related to the guy at all. We talked about him so much.
But I think price-wise, he's very attractive. And fixture-wise, it should be okay. It won't be okay for game week 6, though, as Liverpool have that clause in the contract that he can't play against them. So just be wary of that. Anybody who's got Ings in, make sure you have another good player to come off the bench. So, Johnny, you'd be pretty confident of moving out of that 4 million overall rank this week.
Yeah, I'm hoping to at least...
Sorry.
I'm hoping to at least hit 3.9 by Monday night.
I'll be rooting for you.
I'll be getting the champagne out if that's the case.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's good.
I've got good players in there, and if they all bomb, you know, that's just... I might just give up the game altogether, because like, when I've got Hazard and Mane in there and Alonso and Robertson, you know, you think... something's got to go right, but you know, we'll see how it goes.
You've got that all-star back line. You weren't tempted to go for Mendy?
Financially, I couldn't really squeeze him in, but I was tempted, absolutely. And again, I've still got 36 hours, so we'll hold on. I won't post anything on Twitter just yet until I've finally cemented it.
You'll give us an update on Twitter, won't you, anyway, if you make any changes.
Absolutely.
Where can we get you on Twitter, by the way, for any of the listeners?
@King_podcast.
There you go.
A nice wee easy one to remember.
Yeah, that is easy. And you can get me at TheFantasyKing2 at Twitter. Mm-hmm. And I was very upset that The Fantasy King was taken and it's been inactive for a couple of years. I'm going to have to send Twitter a strongly worded letter or something about it.
show them who's boss there, Paddy. Yeah. Polite but firm.
Well, look what happened, Mickey. Mkhitaryan.
That's it as well. You know.
He got the unfollow.
if we were that age, you know, you probably would have not taken him to your birthday party or something, you know.
Yeah, that's true as well. Right, so I'm going to go into my own team, Johnny, and how I'm set up for going into game week 5.
Okay.
I haven't made any transfers yet. The players I was kind of thinking about transferring out were actually Mkhitaryan for that horrible thing he did to me in the last game week.
That was awful, crew. Now, maybe you should. Do you want to talk about that, Paddy, for a second?
Well, for any of the new listeners or anyone who missed out in the last episode, Mkhitaryan came on for 1 minute in the 89th minute and blocked Danny Ings coming off the bench with 8 points for me. It was absolute heartbreak.
Basically, this is a polite but firm letter going to the people of Twitter and to Mr. Emery as well. So, Paddy, you've got a busy weekend with that typewriter. So
these Premier League managers, they just have no thoughts at all for us fantasy managers.
No, consideration at all.
Exactly. So, Mkhitaryan, anyway, he's staying for now. I've got Lucas Moura, another guy that I'm hemming and hawing over because Richarlison will be back soon. And he was my replacement. And he actually done me justice. He got me points when I brought him in. But they're playing Liverpool. He's not going to be as, you know, as free scoring or, you know, assisting as I think against a top team like Liverpool. But I'm going to keep him in anyway because I hear Dele Alli is injured.
Yeah, that's true. The Spurs team is something we might touch upon as well. Now, they've got a bit of injury concerns coming up, but we'll get to that. Sorry, we'll
they
get
do,
to that.
And they have players coming back as well. Son is back.
He is, but I wonder how rusty and ready to go he might be.
Well, Pochettino said in the press conference that he's going to be on the bench. So,
well, okay, yeah.
I don't know. He might get a couple of minutes, but surely he can't start him, and he will definitely not play any more than a full half. I wouldn't say.
Yeah, because he actually ended up playing an extra game even after the Asia Asian Games, didn't
he? Yeah, he played like for the under 23s or something, or something like that. Absolute warrior, and he's not tired. And he actually put a little post up saying that fatigue is just an excuse. So, you know, go you, son.
So he doesn't do fatigue and he doesn't do blisters.
Yeah, that's again a player's you'd be proud of, Johnny.
Absolutely.
So Pedro as well as my other player, that is another rotational kind of player that I have in my midfield. But I'm not too worried about this week because Willian, I think, made two appearances for Brazil off the bench, and he's got that long flight home, so I'm sure Pedro will get the nod, and I'm hoping he'll get me some points against Cardiff.
Yeah, he served you well in the last game when he came on as a sub against Bournemouth, I think it was, yeah?
Yeah, he did, and the strikers...
Vote for Pedro.
Vote for Pedro, yeah, he did. He came off the bench and got me a couple of points. Up front, I've got Aguero, Zaha, and Danny Ings. Mm-hmm. And my back line is Robertson, Alonso, and Mendy, and of course Ederson and Nets. I'm going with my first substitute as Patrick Van Aanholt.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Even though I've got another good one that comes off the bench there, Wan-Bissaka,
yeah.
But because of his giving away the penalty last week, I'm punishing him and I'm putting him in at number two on the bench.
He's on the naughty step for a while.
He is indeed. Talking about Ederson and having a child, I really hope that he doesn't take time off work, because I've got Hamer as my sub keeper and he's not going to be back until I think game week 6 at least.
Right. Okay. So you might have a. Are you going to have to do the old fashioned, or you know, the old thing of, you know, John O'Shea going in that kind of situation?
You might have to see if Wan-Bissaka can jump in there, maybe. But that's my team, Johnny. I don't think I'm going to make any transfers this week because I would like to have the power of having two for game week 6. That way, you know, I can, you know, spread the funds.
Yeah,
about.
Smart thinking. Yeah,
and I don't like taking hits ever unless it's an emergency.
Sure.
So yeah, that's me going into game week 5. I'm pretty confident it should be okay to get me through it anyway.
No, but well, we just have a look at some of these talking points now that we said we would. I think the first thing we were going to look at was the Champions League situation coming up and how that could affect a few teams over the next few weeks.
Well, without a doubt, Johnny. Let's just talk about star players here. We'll not go into too much detail.
No.
You're talking the likes, right? You've got players that will be rotated here now. Like Aguero will be rotated, I'd say. Jesus needs to get some minutes. Mm-hmm. There's Champions League fixtures. I expect a bit of rotation there. Mm-hmm. You're looking at Mo Salah.
Yeah. The only thing about... It could almost be a little bit predictable. Like, there's a lot of talk about this very, very busy and very, very tough fixture list that Liverpool have coming up, but I wouldn't panic about it too much. Like, they play Spurs on Saturday,
yes,
then they've got a home game on Tuesday night, which I think is the Paris Saint-Germain game,
yeah,
and then they've got another game at home to Southampton, which I think is four days later again, and then there's a League Cup game against Chelsea, which you just know Klopp is going to put out a lot of fresh faces that day, and I think
Shaqiri
and the likes as well, who did very well.
Fabinho.
Yeah, it'll be a chance to give them boys a big run. But if we're talking about the likes of, you know, the usual kind of suspect, Sadio Mane, Mo Salah, you know the sort of games that they are going to be rested for. And even with the big games that they do have, there is a wee bit of space and a wee bit of recovery time in between those games as well.
That's true. I'm taking a stab at it here, right? Just common sense, really. I think Salah may be rested for the Southampton game.
Yeah, that's what I would imagine it would be, that one, the home game against Southampton.
And he may start. I just don't think he'll play the full 90.
No.
At least. And I think, of course, he'll be rested for the cup game. And that, I think.
That goes without saying, really.
That would be plenty of rest, wouldn't it?
I think so, yeah. I would think so.
And we can just, that's a good segue into, you know, No Salah or Mo Salah. And The big one here is people are coming off Salah and going on to Mane.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are doubling up on Salah and Mane, and that's fine. But
yeah.
I certainly wouldn't be tripling up on Liverpool fixtures with the fixtures that are upcoming. You know, I wouldn't be going Robertson, Salah, and Mane.
It can work wonders for you one weekend. Like maybe this weekend when they... You'd imagine they'll all be playing in the Spurs game on Saturday. You know, it could go well for them there. But over the next couple of weeks. But if we're only talking about game week 5, you know, we'll stick to what we need to focus on first of all. But over the next few weeks, there will be a bit of Liverpool chopping and changing.
Yeah, and look, if you're getting rid of Salah now, it's going to be extremely difficult to get him back in later again if you really want
him. For a man who has got rid of him, I am very, very aware of that. But I just thought that I needed a few points, you know. But yeah, it'd be hard to get him back in, yeah.
And I think if I had Manny, I wouldn't probably come off Manny now at the moment. If I had Manny from the beginning, I wouldn't be coming off him, I don't think, because of the price. That's the only thing that would put me off, because he's gone up in price. What is Manny now? Because you have Manny, so can you...
I think it was like maybe it was in and around the 10 million mark. Maybe
has
about
he hit the 10 million mark?
I think so, yeah. Just
we'll have to check that out now, Johnny. We'll have to make sure we know.
I think there was a difference between him and...
Give us a look there. Go on your team there and click on him to see.
Yeah, just bear with me now, because I'm using the phone in one hand and I'm using my
In the other. Inspector Gadget.
I remember hearing that he was there was a difference between those two, between Manny and Salah of 2.3 million. So,
well, that's a lot of money that you could spread around your team. I can see the appeal for managers coming off him, especially, you know.
You know, yeah, you have to think about the greater good. You know, and there's Manny now. And there he is now. Come on, son. Okay. 10 million exactly.
Whoa,
10
he's
million
hit
exactly.
the 10 million.
Yeah, 10 million exactly.
He's gone up the 0.5. That's a big increase.
Yeah.
So there you go. So you're going no Salah and I'm going Mo Salah.
that's the way it has to be for this weekend.
That'll be an interesting to see how that goes for us. So Johnny, what's next there on the agenda here?
Okay, well, the one thing I was just kind of, we're talking about this kind of rotation and stuff, and whatever about Liverpool and Man United, we might get to them shortly as well. Man City, we're always talking rotation, but one thing we haven't really talked about as much is Tottenham Hotspur, good old Spurs, because they do have a bit of a worry at the minute now. I don't want to panic our Spurs fans, well, maybe I do a little bit. But I was reading there today that, you know, Dele Alli has a hamstring problem. Hugo Lloris is still out, and he will be for a while with a thigh problem.
And then Sissoko is,
you know, he drinks when he wants.
He drinks when he wants. Hugo Lloris, he drinks when he wants.
Sure, we're all entitled to a few beers on a Friday, you know. But, you know, Sissoko was still, I think he's struggling with a hamstring problem.
We do not endorse drinking and driving. Go on ahead.
absolutely not. Trippier is not going to play this weekend, by the way it sounds, you know, against Liverpool. Harry Kane, I'd imagine, will play, and I could regret saying this, but I think Harry Kane looks like a tired man.
Johnny, tell me, Trippier, he's not playing.
That's not confirmed, but I just, with Spurs' Champions League games on the following Tuesday or Wednesday, I think they've got, is it Barcelona they've got in the first game?
Are you thinking Trippier might get rested? Is that what you're saying?
I think he will.
Right,
will.
Nothing's concrete.
No, then. Nothing concrete.
Speculation.
It's strong speculation, but you know. Kane is still obviously going to gather points, but I think he looks a bit fatigued. We talked about Son. He's going to be on the bench on Saturday. But of course, you know, this is still a Spurs team without the likes of Winks or Victor Wanyama as well. You know, so there's a lot of kind of good Spurs players there that are struggling.
Yeah. So that gives me a little bit more hope for Lucas Moura maybe to start this week anyway.
I would think so, yeah. And I think, you know, the people who have the likes of, you know, Vertonghen and these kind of guys, you know, if you have those Spurs players, definitely keep them in, because, like, that's 8 or 9 players I've listed out there who are either definitely out or likely to be out, who are could be rusty or fatigued, you know?
Yeah, just going back to those Spurs injuries, I have a few more here to mention. We have Sissoko, who's out. We have Dele Alli, hamstring. He's not expected back till later in September, 22nd, I think. We have Lloris, of course, as well. Yeah. We've mentioned him. He's out till the 6th of October.
Yes, it's a lot. They're long layoffs for some of these guys, you know.
So, you know, that just gives me a little bit more hope for my Lucas Moura punt.
Yeah, but obviously, you know, the people who have Ericsson will be happy enough as well. But you know, they're big players for Spurs that are out. You know, it's nearly got to a stage where we've almost forgotten this season about the likes of Victor Wanyama or Winks or these kind of guys as well.
Yeah, that's true. Johnny, tell me, what about captaincy? Have you picked your captain yet for your team?
I put it down to Sadio Mane for the minute.
Right.
You know, based on good form in August, you know, I've spent 10 million on him. You know, why not put him as captain, really? It was a pretty easy decision, really. I can't see myself changing from that between now and the deadline.
So Manny's the captain against...
Manny's the captain.
And who's your strikers again, sorry?
Aubameyang, Ings, and Mitrovic is on the bench at the minute. But Aubameyang, Ings, and Mitrovic.
Right, and you're not tempted by Aubameyang at all?
Maybe for a vice.
Well, the top five captaincies this week are Aguero, Hazard, yeah, Alonso, Salah, and Kane is what I've seen here. I think, I know I'm going on Aguero. It's a no-brainer for me. I'm going straight on Aguero this week, and I think he's going to do the business for me.
Yeah, I would imagine so. You know, there's something about Aguero. We've talked about him a lot this season. He's been there at Man City for 7 years, I think it is, and he sort of looks fresher and more up for it. And if he stays fit, you can imagine him getting that golden boot. You know, I wouldn't say easily, but yeah, you know, at a bit of a canter, you know.
No, I definitely agree. You know, any players that made the watch list or who you're thinking about maybe coming in, Johnny, or have caught your eye?
Well, obviously, the first player that really, really caught my eye, I'm just going to mention him again, of course, is our own Irishman in Matthew Doherty. And like I say, he was going cheap at 4.4 million. He's a very attack-minded midfielder in that, you know, that kind of 3-4-2-1 formation that Wolves play.
Yeah.
And like I say, he's up against Burnley, who are struggling defensively. So I think, you know, he was definitely one that caught my eye as a one to watch as well. Lucas Moura, that goes without saying, he's a bit more expensive now. Well, he's a lot more expensive at 7.3. But also, Callum Wilson is a man who is still, I can't take my eye off at the minute because he's going now at 6.2 million, if my notes are correct. He's got 24 points this season already on his own. And that's, you know, that's on a board on the side with three assists in that time as well. He plays a lot of football. You know,
he's a hot property.
Like, you know, he gets plenty of minutes on the pitch. And, you know, the fun fact that I learned about him today was that he's had 14 shots inside the penalty area in those opening four games as well.
Yeah, you can't really ignore that. Like,
yeah, just something about that there. Pedro was another man as well. Like, you know, we're shouting vote for Pedro, but don't forget, like, he's got, I think it's three goals this season already as well. And he's racking up the points nicely as well. And even a quiet one as well is, maybe for a sub-goalkeeper now, is somebody like Joe Hart as well. He's been catching my eye in recent weeks as well. 4.5 million. A lot of saves in the last couple of games. Same as Begovic, same as Fabianski.
Just have to keep an eye on that Joe Hart situation with Heaton and coming back soon.
Well, that's why maybe someone like Fabianski could be a better shout, because you think Fabianski is pretty much cemented his place in that West Ham team. Like, you know, West Ham are conceding a lot, but he's pulling off a lot of good saves.
Fabianski is a great keeper to have if you're doing the rotating goalkeepers strategy.
I would think so. Yeah, I would agree with that.
A player now that has caught my eye is James Maddison for Leicester.
Yeah.
He's actually gone up in price. He's 6.6. He's got 18 points so far, and he could be a good player, you know, going forward, maybe to bring in the future.
Yeah, I've noticed as well, like, his ownership is quite low as well. It's something like 3.2%, and Leicester have got a kind of a generous run of fixtures coming up as well, and he is what some people call a kind of a set and forget kind of player. We actually got a Twitter message in earlier asking us who would we go for between Pedro or Maddison. We might come back to that question just if our listeners, they could start thinking about that themselves. But you know, there's some kind of good players there that are going for pretty cheap at the minute as well. James Maddison is one of yours, Paddy. Yeah.
No, not yet. Maybe in the future, but not.
No. One of your ones to watch.
Like, oh, right. Sorry. Yeah. he's on my to watch list at the moment. Johnny, what else have we got here now, or will we move on and answer some questions?
We'll go to the We'll go to the questions because my notes here will actually lead into that there as well.
No problem.
Now, have you got the questions there in front of you, Paddy?
Yeah, I've got a couple here now. I've got one just in, actually, as I was going to get the questions. This one comes in from a guy called JJ, and he's from Discord. His question is from... he says, some questions I have and the community have. Is Shaw any good to have in your team? Is he nailed? ? And Danny Ings any good as well? And then Salah or Manny? So we've covered the Salah or Manny there, JJ, and I think we've covered Danny Ings as well.
We kind of have,
I think we know he's good. The question is Danny Ings any good? Yeah, Danny Ings is good, and he's cheap, and he's going to get you some goals, but just bear in mind, he's not going to be playing game week 6.
Yep.
Is Shaw any good to have in your team? Not this week.
Not this week, obviously.
Shaw suffered a bit of a concussion, a serious head injury, or in the internationals, and he was taken off the field. And you have to do the mandatory week off work.
Yeah, it's 7 days or something.
Yeah, and it'll be just 6 days by the time he plays, but he's not going to be risked. I don't think he'll play.
He is a very good player to bring in at the same time.
But not nailed for this week anyway. But going forward, just something to watch, because I know Mourinho will have to give Ashley Young some games as well.
Yeah.
And who knows, if Young plays well this week, he could find himself in the team. And Shaw might have to try and win it back. But I don't know, Johnny, what do you think? I think Shaw's going to hold that place down for the season, yeah?
I think he will. He'll have the vast majority of games there. But obviously, it goes without saying that he's out of action for this weekend. But I do think, I think he's a good man to bring in. I think he's not overly expensive either. I think a lot of, I'm kind of generalising now, but like a lot of Man United players have been left out of the ownership. But, if you were to take a Man United player, I think Luke Shaw would be the man for him. Even if Jose Mourinho publicly slates and hates him.
He doesn't anymore, and he was only making him a better player, Johnny. That's what he does.
Oh,
he turns him in. Look at him now. He's the best left-back in the world. Right. Stephen Tomei here has got a question on Twitter. He says, what to do with Arne Arnautovic?
Arnautovic, yeah.
Yes. Feel confident for him against Everton, but a tough run for a bad West Ham team. Do you buy into the Mitrovic or Ings?
Well, Ings is getting a lot of talk in the air.
Yeah.
Arnautovic is a very, very good player, but that West Ham team are playing so poorly at the minute, especially in their last game against Wolves. I'm even getting annoyed talking about how poor that they were. They need to get a quick turnaround, and otherwise he could find it very, very lonely up there for the next couple of weeks.
Well, the thing about Arnautovic for me is he's a hothead, right?
Yeah.
And especially, the way West Ham are playing, he's going to get frustrated. I'd be just afraid he's going to just get sent off for something very soon or do something really crazy. But, of course, great player. I just don't know about him yet. The fixtures, we've got, he's got away to Everton, then home to Chelsea. And then where are they? They're at home to Man United.
Yeah, I think he's a man to put on the shelf for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, really. Least up until game week 8. Then where it's not even good after game week 8. They have a little break in there. They have Brighton, but then right after that they're home to Spurs.
Yeah,
derby, and then they're away to Leicester. So look, for me at the moment, I think. It wouldn't be a bad idea to maybe move to Ings and free up some funds. You could maybe even move that money into midfield if you want. Mitrovic, I probably wouldn't just go on him this week. I would be if you want him in, I would probably wait till the following week, because they've got City this week.
after the Man City game, basically, yeah.
Yeah, in game week. So after that, maybe it would be a good time to look at... But Stephen, of course, in game week 6, Stephen, they're playing your beloved Watford. So I don't know, that could be a hard decision for you, man.
Yeah, to be honest, it's obviously up to Stephen himself, and fair, good on Stephen as well. He's kind of a regular listener to us as well. But I think it would be a time to put Arnautovic on the shelf for a little while.
Yeah, definitely. So that's what I would think as well. We have another question here now. This comes in from. Stephen Gregor, and this is from Reddit, and he's talking about the Arsenal situation. And
the Arsenal situation?
Yeah, of course, with Mkhitaryan and with Arsenal maybe finding, have they found their identity yet,
Well, they definitely improved from that from the opening two weekends of the season. I've no crystal ball on this situation, but it seems that Ozil has kind of come a little bit more back into favour as well.
Yeah,
Ramsey looks like a man who's kind of cemented that position in the centre. And I think, it's starting to look as well that Lacazette and Aubameyang kind of enjoy playing together, and it works for them as well. So, is that answering the question?
Just elaborate on the question. He says, what's your thoughts on the Arsenal situation, considering getting rid of either Mickey or Abba this week to bring in someone from Leicester or someone on better form this week, but also considering holding back my transfer so that I've got two next week? Well, straight away there, Johnny, I'd be saying hold fire.
I would think so, yeah. For, especially for someone like he mentioned Aubameyang there, yeah.
Yeah, I would hold fire. I think Arsenal have Newcastle. They're away, aren't they? Newcastle.
They are actually. Yeah, they are. So that's a special game for me and you, Paddy. Do you remember that stag party we went on?
That's right. Well, I can't really remember that much of it, but I do remember us at that game. We went to the Arsenal Newcastle game. Fantastic.
We were dying.
We were great fans. Love the Newcastle people.
Absolutely.
So what I would say, Stephen, is just chill out. Wait till next week. You've got your two transfers, and you'll be able to move that money, you know, manage it a little bit better as well and strengthen your team.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think a lot of people are, like, you know, if you look at the kind of the bandwagon jumps, I know we all do them a bit, but a lot of people are kind of panicking week after week, I think. You know, kind of going, do I need to get rid of this guy? Do I need to get this guy? And sometimes, you know, let the player find a little bit of form. And like Arsenal do have a nice run of fixtures. I know Leicester do as well, but I would hold fire if I was Stephen there.
Right, and here's right there. You go, Stephen. Hope that does you get helps you sway in some direction. But always go with your gut, anyway, Stephen. You know.
Yeah. It's only bad advice. That's all it is.
Right. So here we've got a question from Fluid Ad 2 on Reddit.
This was the one that made me feel like it was an exam at school. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a good question.
Very good. Very tough.
So he'd like to hear what our thoughts on some strikers under 7 million.
Right,
and that's a great question because there is some fantastic options under 7 million.
Does he mean purely strikers or is he? Well, we'll stick with strikers. That's what he said. We'll stick with strikers.
Well, he does say strikers. He says I'd like to hear what your thoughts are on the strikers under 7 million and under. It's something I've been struggling with in my team right now. There are so many to choose from. Some who have been potentially underperforming, but have some good fixtures coming up. And those who have been doing well but are now coming up to some hard fixtures. Do you trust those who are in form to carry it on in the harder games? And do you think this is the season to trust the budget forwards and maybe have two in the 5.5, 7 million range instead of, you know, the premium forwards, 10, 11 million and 4.5? Yeah. And your opinion on form versus fixtures for other positions. I'm out of breath. I need a glass of water.
The exam will begin at 12:30.
Right, so...
Right, let's bring that question.
Johnny, you're the best to take this question on because you're actually... You've brought in Mitrovic.
Yeah.
But you're benching him, even though you're going over form over fixture, so, you know...
Yeah. We'll take a wee step-by-step approach to that question, right? He was talking, first of all, about good strikers that are under 7 million. I take it he's looking for recommendations there. Now, Mitrovic is definitely one because I think he's going for 6.8 million. He's scoring goals at the minute. Get a lot of ball in the opposition.
He has four goals and assists in the first four game weeks.
Possibility of a quiet weekend this weekend, but overall, a good man to bring in for 6.8 million. Another man as well.
You've mentioned already Callum Wilson.
Callum Wilson, 6.2. Yeah, we've kind of covered Callum Wilson as well. He's got 24 points, you know, so that's good on him. Another man as well, who I just think could be a gradual kind of builder as well, and he's under 7 million, is Raul Jimenez.
Oh, yeah, from Wolves.
He's going for 5.5 at the minute as well. Now, he's, you know, if you're looking for a man who's at that price, you know, you're not going to get a huge points builder, but he just seems like a man who could gradually chip away. And we know how Wolves like to attack. We talked about it earlier with Doherty. We talked about how in previous weeks with the likes of Neves and Jota and how they like to get forward and how they don't give a shit about who they're playing against. You know?
Yeah, that's
true. So I think Jimenez could be, or Jimenez, however you say that, if he's looking for forwards that are under 7 million, I would go for definitely.
Yeah.
Jimenez
and of course the evergreen Glenn Murray. He's got I think he's got 3 goals so far. You know, we have to mention him.
Glenn Murray is, what, you know, a year and a half, 2 years older than us, and he gives us all hope, you know. He's, what, 35 years of age. What a guy. We salute you, Glenn. What a guy. You know, but yeah, he's another man to bring in there as well.
And he's got some good fixtures, you know, playing West Ham and Wolves, you know, at home on the way. So, you know, that could, you know, there could be goals there for Glenn Murray. Troy Deeney as well, 6.1 million. Another one to maybe look at.
That's another man to bring in as well, you know.
But the fixtures are kind of get a little bit tough though for Watford.
Ah, yeah, of course. But even Zaha, I think Zaha is still under 7 million. I could be wrong about that.
I think is just 7 million on the button. I'll just
double check
that though for you.
Yeah. Well, and even another man we mentioned too, like, you know, I don't want to contradict myself, but, you know, he's asking for good players that are 7 million or under, and even Arnautovic, who he's going to have a tough run of games recently, but, or sorry, he's going to have a tough run of games coming up, but, you know, he's another good man. But I would definitely be looking at the likes of Mitrovic, who is on good form at the minute.
And, of course, Danny Ings, who's a fiery cousin of both of us.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's why we keep talking about him.
You know, we really need to get him over to, like, you know, for some celebration or
maybe
something.
Get him on as a guest. No, Danny is 5.6, and he's I think he's great value, and I'd be looking at Danny Ings, and then you might be able to free up a little bit more funds. You could even maybe push the boat out for a Jamie Vardy at 8.9. You know, but look, we said under 7. I think we've named out a few good strikers there at under 7.
Yeah,
and right. So form over fixture. What do you think?
Form over fixture. To be honest with you, I think, you know, I would kind of go with form. I wouldn't always
form
too
is
much.
Temporary. Class is forever.
Yeah, but do you know what I mean? Like, well, again, maybe I'm. Do you know, like, you know, my heart tells me that you know, Mitrovic will have a tougher game against Man City at the weekend. But at the same time, he's on good form, so we think, you know, maybe I should just put him in and just shut my mouth about it. I think, you know, form does carry on through. You know, players play with better confidence, and, you know, I wouldn't always look at the fixture as a big worry. You know, sometimes you get players who play better against bigger teams, I find, as well.
And I think, you know, I do think this is a season to trust the budget forwards a little bit more. That's another part of the question, because a lot of the points are seem to be coming from the premium fullbacks. You know, we were saying this is kind of the season of the fullback. So if you focus a little bit of money at the back, you know, your budget forwards along with those could, you know, could be a good compromise.
I think so, you know, because you have to remember as well, like, it's a very obvious statement, but you've got a whole team to facilitate for as well, do you know what I mean? And it's always very natural, and I've done it, you know, to go out and get Salah straight away, go out and get, you know, Harry Kane straight away, you know, the big boys. But sometimes, you know, if you kind of look around some of those other players who, like, we would never have talked about Mitrovic before the season. We never would have talked about the likes of Schürrle or that guy at Southampton whose name I can't pronounce, you know, or even the likes of Pereira, these kind of guys who are good all-round players, all different positions, you know, and, you know, they're going at good prices, and they're racking up points, you know.
Yeah, I think we've answered that now, and I hope we've helped you there, Fluid, make up a few.
I hope we passed that exam.
Yeah, I hope we get an A for that. So moving on here now to Nick FPL. This is our Kiwi listener all the way from New Zealand. So his question is pretty simple. Madison or Pedro?
Okay, well, we've kind of covered information about Madison earlier. He's going at a good price. I believe under 7 million as well, I think. Very low ownership. Leicester, good run of form, possibly so. Pedro, I also mentioned him. He's on good form with 3 goals as well. Fair few shots on target. I think he's only 1 behind Mo Salah in terms of shots on target. I'm not going to decide for or what's his name again? Sorry, Paddy.
Kiwi Nick. You can get. He's Kiwi on Twitter. Nick. He's at Kiwi Nick _ FPL. I'll tell you what I think. If it's based on this week alone, I would probably go Pedro.
Yeah, probably so. Yeah.
Cardiff, and you know, I think he's going to get the nod ahead of William.
Yeah, I would say so.
But long term, I don't know yet, Nick. We just need to see how this rotation with Pedro and Willian is going to go. I just don't like having a player on my team that I know that I have to sweat on before the team sheet's released. Is he going to be starting or is he on the bench, you know?
Yeah. If it's only for this weekend that Nick is looking for an answer, I would probably go with Pedro for this week. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Are you elaborating on that question anymore there? Or
no, well, I just had a flashback there. Sorry, we were asked a couple of weeks ago. I think a guy was looking to get information on should he go with Madison or Robertson, I think it was, and I said Robertson for that one. So I think James Madison is going to think I've got a spite out against him. That's twice I've rejected him now.
You're a terrible human being, Johnny.
He's no Danny Ings.
So anyway, Jason here has a question. At _Jason94, is Lukaku being overlooked? Has great underlying stats and a good pick if you can fit him in on a wild card. And I love that question because I was actually been thinking about Lukaku myself, you know.
Okay, well, obviously
scored 2 goals for Belgium there during the international break.
Well, it was against Scotland, so I don't know if they count, but he got 2 goals against Burnley as well in the last Premier League game.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, you know, maybe it could be coming into a bit of form. We've got United have got Watford away.
Yeah.
Next game. Then United have Wolves. Uh-huh. They have West Ham away. And then they have Newcastle at home. And then they're away to Chelsea in game week 9. So you do have a few good fixtures in there to get him in.
This would be a good time to bring him in, I think, yeah.
Yeah, it would. But the only thing is, if I'm having a premium forward right now, it's Aguero, and I can't see myself getting rid of Aguero till maybe game week. Let me see. Let me just have a quick look here at the fixtures. Oh, I'm not getting rid of him for Cardiff. Not getting rid of him for Brighton either in game week 7. And then Liverpool on game week 8. So I'm holding them anyway up until that. And game week 9, then United are playing Chelsea. So it's kind of like, you know, it's either Lukaku or Aguero for at the moment. And I'd be going Aguero.
Certainly
Lukaku is, I think he could be being overlooked. But the fixtures that Aguero and Lukaku have are running side by side at the moment. They're very good. Yeah. They both have good fixtures. And they both seem to come to an end at the same time. So
yeah, but like I say, he's... Lukaku is a man on form at the minute now, so yeah.
I just don't know where you would. I just don't know where you could fit him in money wise. You know, without having Aguero in there, you know, you'd need to make a sacrifice somewhere else in the team. And I just
you would have to take a sacrificial lamb somewhere else.
Yeah, and I just don't think at the moment I could do that. Mm. Even though I do like that question, I was looking at Lukaku, thinking it would be a great differential. But then you have to think of, and I hate saying it, the Mourinho, the way United play. You know.
That's a big factor as well. Even just to, I hope I'm not sidestepping the question now, but you look at players like Rashford who got a couple of goals for England last week, and then, you know, he hasn't really, you know, been allowed that kind of attacking prowess for Man United in a long, long time, you know?
Yeah, I think with Lukaku there, Rashford isn't going to move him out of that. You know, he's not going to get much time up, you know, as the main striker. I think he may, well, to answer your question, I think he is being overlooked, but I think it's...
But maybe there's a reason why he's being overlooked at the same time. And I think it's because of Mourinho's style. Like we said earlier in the show that a lot of Man United players are being left out, and you know that's really because, I think, of Mourinho's approach to the games, you know?
And, of course, with Aguero, and we've already seen it this season, he's got explosive capabilities where you could just get a hat-trick from him.
I just don't see
that with Lukaku so much.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all the questions wrapped up there, Johnny.
I think so, yeah. Now, apologies if we missed somebody. I don't think we did. I was writing down notes from everybody all day. Hopefully now we didn't miss anybody. Now, will we just take a quick look ahead to the weekend and what we might look out for in certain games?
We can indeed. But before we do, I'm getting live questions in here. Bombarded by JJ here in Discord. So we'll go quickly. We'll do this like a quick fire round, okay?
Right, okay. So we've no time to prepare this one. Game show style.
Yeah, it is. So he's gone Manny versus Dilva versus Hazard. So Dilva's David Silva, the young ones are calling him.
Right.
For sure.
That's the hip new name for David Silva.
Yeah, because there's Bernardo Silva, so it's Bulva and Dilva. Manny, Dilva, or Hazard? Which one?
I'd say for the next couple of weeks, with the fixtures the way they are, if we are going that way, I would go with Hazard.
Excellent. What's the ideal team value without wildcard? Well, that's a good question because... You know, if you've wildcarded and you've brought in loads of cheap players, those players are cheap for a reason. You know, they're underperforming. I don't really look at team value when I'm doing my team. It doesn't affect me. I just go by what I see. I'm watching match of the day. I like a player. I think he's coming into form. I'll just pick him. So for me, I don't really look at team value, JJ.
I don't. You see in those BBC things, a lot of people are talking about team values going up and down. I never really consider that.
Yeah, the market fluctuates too quick to, you know, just to... Unless someone's injured, really. Here we go again. Ederson, Mendy, or Alisson and Gomez? Ederson and Mendy.
I probably would. Although they're both good shouts to go with.
Etheridge, worth the risk? Starting or bench?
Maybe on the bench. He had a very, very good start to the season. I think he save two penalties? And
who's Cardiff playing this week?
Cardiff are playing. They're playing Chelsea away. So,
all right, bench. Mora or Pedro? Good question.
I would go Pedro, but it's I just think Liverpool will snuff Luka.
Yeah, I'm going Pedro too. Pedro as well. And yeah. Pogba or Eriksen?
Eriksen.
Yeah, Eriksen. Pogba is, I don't know what's going on there. It's a bad situation there at the moment.
Yeah, it's negative. It's just,
I don't want to have anything negative around me. Siri or Neves? I'd go Siri at the moment.
I'm going to say Neves because I have him, so I'm going to stick loyal to him.
Right.
Yeah, I can see why people will go Siri.
Yeah, but maybe long term, I think you're right, Neves. Deeney or Wilson? Wilson?
Wilson, yeah.
Form?
Wilson. Yep, going well, like, you know, 6.2 million. Yeah.
Lukaku or Kane?
Two players we've spoken about. My theory about Kane is only really a hunch. Lukaku is playing on a team that is in good form. I'm going to go with Lukaku on that one.
Whoa, yeah, price wise, he's probably more attractive, and yeah. I think Spurs are coming into a few tough fixtures as well.
I think they are. I think Spurs could really, really struggle over the next couple of weeks, but maybe that's for another day.
It'd be interesting to see. And the last one, Firmino or Lacazette.
I probably think long term, I would probably go with Firmino.
Yeah, long term Firmino as well. Yeah. He didn't play any of the matches for Brazil, I don't think. He's going to be nailed on. So yeah, that's all our questions answered there. And JJ took up about 10 of them. Thank you, JJ. hope everyone is happy and has a good game week. Johnny, anything else now, or are we going to call it a night?
Well, I'm just going to do a quick run through of the 10 games that are coming up here this weekend, but I won't spend long on them. It's just things that I would kind of be looking out for. If you don't mind, I'll whiz through these.
Go for it, mate.
First one up now. I haven't done these in any particular order. Yeah. First one I just looked at is Everton against West Ham. Okay, Richarlison will obviously be out of that one, but I think he scored two goals for the internationals when he was away. But I think this
scored a great goal for Brazil. They were playing something like El Salvador or something, weren't they?
No, they all count, though. They all count.
That is true. We can't take it away from them.
Even though my shite joke about scoring against Scotland earlier doesn't count, they all actually do.
But look, in a nutshell, it's going to do wonders for the guy's confidence. He's up there playing for his country, and he's not back this week. He's back next week.
No, he's not
week.
Back. Just,
he's I back against the Arsenal, so I'll probably just won't be bringing him back for game week 6, and I'll just wait till game week 7 and get him in then.
Do you know who I think could be the man to watch this weekend now? It's a man I let go, but it's not about me. It's Tucson. I think, Tucson has been kind of going okay.
Hold on, Johnny. You're recommending a player you've just let go of.
But the thing is, it's just because he's playing against...
How does that work?
Because he's playing against West Ham, and everybody scores against West Ham nowadays.
So why are you not keeping him then?
Because he broke my heart too many times.
Right, well, there you go.
All right. Okay, so we'll skip on then. Man United against Watford is on this weekend as well.
I'm afraid of that game after Watford of channeling their inner Leicester City.
Watford are the foreign team coming into this one, and four great wins for them. But the thing is, Mourinho actually does have a very, very good record against Watford himself. You know what I mean? Especially for United. So it'll be interesting to see how that one goes. Obviously, there'll be no Luke Shaw. But the thing is, with the Watford boys, there's been a lot of bandwagon stuff on the likes of Pereira and Holabas.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see now how they can do it now in a game against the likes of Man United as well. It's a good pressure for them as well.
Yeah.
So that's that one. The next one then I'm just looking at is Newcastle against Arsenal. I think Ozil. I was reading that Ozil's got a very, very good record of goals and assists.
But Ozil's been shit.
I know, but the thing is, he's playing against a team who have been struggling, so this could be a weekend for him, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, well, I'll have to wait and see, before I go bringing him in, I think.
I'm not recommending bringing him in. I'm just saying, this could be something that could maybe turn a few heads.
Could be sparked. Yeah, I'll be keeping my eye on Mkhitaryan. That's his, whether he stays or goes in my team match. What's the next one?
Next one, then, is one that we've kind of talked about this one a lot already. By mistake, if you like, it's the Man City Fulham game. I think we expect Man City to win that game, but I would say that we're all kind of looking forward to seeing how the likes of like Mitrovic and Schürrle perform in a game like this now against one of the big boys in their own backyard.
Yeah, it'll be a tough game for Fulham, and it could be free scoring for Man City. We'll just have to watch. Captaincy is firmly on. On Aguero for that game.
Aguero for that one, yeah. And obviously, I think a lot of people were talking about. What did you say, Silva? Da Silva or
Dilva or Bulva?
See, we're up and down with the kids on this show as well. So I would be more
confident with David Silva anyway in that Pep Roulette midfield than Bernardo Silva or Bulva, as the cool kids call him.
It's getting too confusing, all these new names, you know. But next one then is, we're halfway through, is number five is Huddersfield against Palace. I just think Palace are going to win that game. I think
Zaha's back for that game as well. So they are a different team with Zaha in there. Like, they looked lost without him the last game.
Big time. And a lot of people have the likes of Wan-Bissaka and what do you call all the like in Van Aanholt as well. So,
PVA, yeah.
Yeah, Huddersfield player, I feel like I'm slagging Huddersfield again, but you know, there is a lot of interest in the Palace players in the Fantasy League this year. So I think they'll be the guys that we'll be looking out for in that one to see how they get on.
Yeah.
Swiftly moving on. Chelsea against Cardiff.
Yeah, this is the big bandwagon game.
This is the bandwagon game, surely. This is the bandwagon game now. With
I could
who
join
we talking
that bandwagon
about
me yet.
we're talking about the likes of Alonso and Hazard and all the Chelsea boys who've been on form as well. And, you know, I can't see their...
Hazard's their big as a popular captaincy pick this week, and it's because they're playing Cardiff. So,
that could be
one to monitor as well.
Yeah. Have we any real hope at all for Cardiff in that one?
No hope.
Yeah, I can't really see it. Good
if I was
kind of fight against
like Caesar in a gladiator arena, it would be a big slow thumbs down. You know,
they put up a good old fashioned performance against the Arsenal, but they were still, you know, they're still not where they want to be at all. And I think they'll be huge favourites to go down already.
Yeah.
Okay, so number seven, then we've got Bournemouth against Leicester. All right, what's your thinking on that one, Paddy?
Well, that's a really good one. I think that might be a draw. I think, though, is Jamie Vardy back?
I don't think so. I could be wrong, but I don't think so.
Well, then, I don't know. I still think Leicester have a little bit more in the tank than Bournemouth. So
you could be right. I think you could be onto something there, too, because the last six times they've played each other, probably five of them have ended in draws.
No, well, there you go. So I got the draw.
Yeah. See, kids, it's good to sit on the fence the odd time.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
Number eight, obviously, I think this one will get huge interest.
Spurs are going to hammer them. Spurs all the way. Spurs are going to just destroy them.
Do you think so?
I hope so. No, I don't know. It's a hard one to call, really, isn't it? Spurs are away from home, so...
No, Spurs are at home, I think.
I think they're away.
All right, okay, we'll have to agree to differ on that one. I'm pretty sure.
Are they at Wembley?
No, it's at Wembley.
Yeah, well, they're away. They're not in their stadium.
Oh, right on, technically.
The Spurs fans out there will be going, go on, Paddy, go on, Paddy.
Oh, you got me good there. But I don't know. I always think last year, even under Klopp in general, the Spurs 4-1 win against Liverpool last year was kind of the turning point for Liverpool, because it made them realise that they needed to change.
If this was a movie, the timeline would be, there will be goals.
Yeah, I think so. I think Liverpool are going to win that game. I think that they'll feel the old Spurs one after the, not just the 4-1 defeat last year, but do you remember that 2-2 draw back around January, February time? And,
that's right.
There was two late goals and there was a dodgy penalty. I think Liverpool will kind of, you know, I'm hoping really that they kind of go in and say, you know, lay down a marker against them, especially with Spurs with the kind of injuries that they have and a bit of fatigue that they have.
Those early kickoffs games, they can offer up some surprises, like, as well. I think Spurs are going to nick it, you know.
Okay, well, I hope you're wrong. That's all I'm going to say. Okay, we'll move on from our own teams now. Okay, last two. Southampton against Brighton, which is the, I think that's the Monday night game.
I think Southampton are going to do it, and Danny Ings is going to get it.
Danny Ings as well. Well, honestly, I'll be looking out for El Yunusi, you know who I'm talking about.
and Shane, and of course, Duff.
I've let Shane Duffy go.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, Shane Duffy, if you're listening, we're taking his Donegal medal off him.
Well, don't forget now as well, for people who don't know, Shane Duffy's father is from the same hometown as us, and I have Mr. Brian Duffy on Facebook, and you know, you talk about an overly proud dad. You know, he's like, oh God, it's. I was nearly getting cringed. I thought, I don't want to hear about Shane Duffy anymore. Maybe it was the sting after the internationals as well. But no, Shane Duffy has gone now for me for a wee
while. Shane Duffy's always good for a goal though, as well.
I don't know. I think he seems to cause more havoc at international level than he does at club level. And he got that one against United a few weeks ago, but. You know, but don't make me feel bad for chucking out Brian Duffy's young fella.
I'm making you feel bad, man. I think you should have kept him, man.
Okay. Last one.
What's the last one? Is that it then?
Last one is Wolves against Burnley.
Oh, Wolves against Burnley in Sunday early game. I'm gonna go Wolves here. I think the heartache from the exit of the Europa League is still going to be lingering there strongly with Burnley.
Yeah, I think so. I think Burnley, they're the other team very much on the way down as well. And Wolves have those good players that we talked about, like Doherty, Neves, Johnny on the other side. Jimenez, Jota as well. A lot of J's in that team as well. So
yeah, Wolves are a good side. You know, I like them. They're Premier League ready, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's our kind of wee build up to the week ahead, and what I'll be looking out for anyway. And hopefully my redemption on points is going to come to pass.
That's it. So Johnny, you'll be having a few pints at the weekend, watching a couple of these games, will you?
Yeah. Tradition is tradition. Why not? Days off. Why not?
Hard to beat. Well, guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, give us a little retweet on Twitter or a like or a review, because that would make us very, very happy.
Thanks again, folks.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.